Okay, we're back on the Chad Hastie Show. I'm Matt Crow. I've escaped from the newsroom, and Chad has let me come in to the guest host his show today. If you want to call into the show, it's 770-5790 or 800-687-0790. Wanted to mention before we roll into the hour that tonight at Ruby Tequila's, the Alzheimer's Association of Lubbock is going to be having another one of those purple on the patio parties. Latrice and I will be there tonight after 7 o'clock. It's a great, great cause. Also this weekend is the Cattle Baron's Ball, another great charity for the American Cancer Society. On the phone right now, I've got Barry Smitherman, and Barry's on the Texas Railroad Commission. In fact, he is the chairman of the Texas Railroad Commission. And being new to Texas somewhat, you'd think that being the chairman of the Texas Railroad Commission has a lot to do with the railroads. However, it's got less to do with the railroads than oil and gas exploration, oil and gas leases here in the state, which, of course, is one of the world's leading energy producers. So welcome to the Chad Hastie Show, Barry. I really appreciate you being on this morning.
Thank you very much, Matt. It's my pleasure.
Now, you haven't had enough of politics. You've run the Railroad Commission now for a while, and you have now decided and you have announced that you are going to run to replace Greg Abbott as our state's attorney general. Now, this comes at a time when your Justice Department, my Justice Department up in Washington, D.C., run by Eric Holder, has essentially said that they are coming after the state of Texas on voting rights concerns, primarily because of the photo ID requirement that we're now able to pursue. Give us a snapshot of where Texas is heading, you know, in your view with voter ID, and what you think right now of the Attorney General's actions. Because he called us out yesterday on this.
Matt, we now have approximately 28 to 30 lawsuits against the federal government, and this is just the latest one where they are completely out of control. The Supreme Court said not too long ago that Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act, the formula which requires certain states to pre-clear our lines for House, Senate, and congressional districts, that the formula was applied incorrectly. That, in our opinion, allows us to implement the voter ID bill. It also means that the lines that we have presently should remain the lines for the election next year, and that we don't have to go through this pre-clearance activity with the Department of Justice, which requires Texas, like eight other southern states, to get our redrawn lines pre-approved by the Department of Justice. It's just another example of the Obama Justice Department, the Obama administration being completely out of control and always having Texas in their gun sights.
Well, and we're not the only ones, bridling at this in South Carolina. I know his name's Alan Wilson, I think. He's the South Carolina's AG. He's also said this is completely unfair. And the whole situation with Section 5 and Section 3 with preclearance, I mean, it seems to me that, and I don't know if you'll agree with this, but it's another example of federal government overreach into states' rights, into states' regulations. If you get into the attorney general job, now Abbott was a very active activist and still is, AG. What are you going to do about Washington as far as them coming down here, them taking the bully pulpit? I don't mean to paint every administration as the enemy of Texas, and I'm not saying that this administration is the enemy of Texas, but you talk about lawyers going wild and liberals going wild. How are you going to approach the AG's job?
Well, I have a history, Matt, of being a fighter. I grew up on the east side of Houston and worked my way through A&M and UT law school, and coming out of my neighborhood, you really had to want it, and you had to stand up for what you believe to be right. I've already joined General Abbott in 7 lawsuits against the EPA on boneheaded regulation that would harm the oil and gas industry, our energy industry, and the ability to keep the lights on reliably in Texas. So I am I'm anxious and eager to continue taking the fight to the Obama administration, whether it's on preclearance, whether it's on Obamacare. The latest incident that we're challenging them on is they appear to have been making secret deals between the Department of Interior and so-called environmental groups, where an environmental group will come in alleging, whether it's the lesser prairie chicken or the dune sagebrush lizard, that they should be placed on the endangered species list. And then they put in place a settlement agreement and a time frame, and we don't even find out about it until the settlement agreement has been filed. And it's typically filed the same day as we find out. So we've asked them for emails and for correspondence related to those so-called settlement agreements, and they've been stonewalling.
So you're saying that the White House is back-channeling with the EPA? Is that what you're referring to? Or are you saying they're back-channeling with groups outside of government?
Well, what we believe that they may, that EPA and Interior may be having conversations with environmental groups secretly in advance of filing settlement agreements, and those conversations lead to a settlement which places a species on the endangered species list without the state of Texas, the industry, or even the average Texan being involved in those conversations.
So we've got leadership of those groups up in Washington or across the country, certainly not down here in Texas, and they're funneling information to Interior. They're funneling information to EPA. EPA is in turn in cahoots with the Interior Department, formulating new regulations and making decisions on things like the lesser prairie chicken or the sagebrush lizard and so forth. Boy, that, you know, the average person hears that, and that it's just very, very disappointing and you know what also people I think need to understand is those groups, those environmental groups, as it were. And I was a Boy Scout. I mean, you won't find a bigger environmentalist than me. I mean, these people have collected so much money from their members who hardly know what they're doing with their money. When they give it to these groups, they in turn are, you know, creating PACs. And I mean, I'm not against, you know, the fact that these groups can create PACs and campaign interest groups, but, you know, there is just so much money from people that are going to these, the campaigns, the presidential campaigns, to these elected officials who make these laws. It's just incredible. And it seems to me that, you know, anything you can do to kind of pull the sheet away, pull the curtain away from these types of activities, boy, that would just be terrific. What's your take right now on Obamacare? Is this going to crash and burn like everybody's thinking about, or do you see it limping towards some kind of a long death after the president's left office, or what's your perspective on that?
Well, I agree with Ted Cruz's position on this. Senator Cruz has long held that it needs to be repealed and it needs to be defunded. I think the president and his supporters have realized what a disaster Obamacare is, and that's why they keep delaying the implementation of Obamacare out into the future and cutting sweetheart deals, whether it's with big corporations or with labor, to allow them to opt out of being in Obamacare for years to come. I think the president's trying to do a delay the game sort of tactic where it doesn't really take effect until after he's gone or until after the elections of 2014. If Obamacare had any worth at all, they'd be trying to put it in place as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Matt, this is what happens when you allow the federal government to take control of a large segment of our economy. Monopolies are inherently inefficient. Healthcare should be subject to the same competitive environment as other industries. And what happens when you have a monopoly is those that are connected those that have good lobbyists end up getting the best deals, and the average citizen ends up paying more for poor service.
Well, and I mean, talk about a gut level issue. I mean, who can I go to see, you know, my doctor? You know, what are my choices? I mean, I'm sorry, but I thought that, you know, we all live in a country where if I want to go see a particular doctor, I'm going to go see that doctor. And, you know, affordable health care is important, but choice is important too. And to have the federal government put their foot on the back of your neck and tell you what you're going to do as far as your health care is concerned, I mean, if that doesn't give you pause for concern, nothing's going to in this country. So I think you hit it right on the head there, Barry. Obamacare is probably the best example of really a president who is inclined towards socialism, who wants big government to take over just about every aspect of our lives. And healthcare is just the tip of the iceberg. Listen, on the Railroad Commission, tell me a little bit about the fracking situation here in Texas. Is that we're going to move forward with all that? I know water is an issue. Are you satisfied from an environmental perspective that is a safe process?
Absolutely. Let's be clear, Matt. Fracking combined with horizontal drilling is what has brought us this incredible bounty of oil and gas that we now have in America. We are actually on the road to energy security. Probably by 2018, 2020, we will no longer be importing oil from countries that hate America. That means in Texas, we're creating all these great paying jobs, many of them in your listening area, mm-hmm. and creating wealth for landowners, mineral owners, universities, just about anyone who owns land or owns minerals or is in these oil-producing regions. So it is a critical part of our economy to continue this process. There has never been a recorded case of fracking contaminating fresh water. Fracking happens at 7,000 to 10,000 feet below the surface. The water table is usually a couple hundred feet deep. Really, what we want to always keep our eye on is well integrity. Mm-hmm. And at the Railroad Commission, I'm proud that about 6 weeks ago, we passed the first rulemaking in 30 years that addresses well integrity, requiring our operators to use a certain amount of cement below the water table, mm-hmm. to pressure test the wells before they get into production, to use cement downhole in an area that might be particularly corrosive. And so these are proactive steps to maintain the integrity of the drilling process and absolutely ensure that fresh water is protected.
We're talking to Barry Smitherman. He's the chairman of the Texas Railroad Commission, and Barry has declared his candidacy for attorney general here in the state of Texas. When we come back, we're going to take your call 770-5790 or 800-687-0790. I'm Matt Crowe, filling in for Chad Hastie here at News Talk 790 KFYO. Almost 10:23 here in Lubbock, Texas, KFYO 790. I've got Barry Smitherman on the line here on the Chad Hastie show this morning. Barry had a email come in from a listener. He was talking about Dish Texas, and I seem to recall that there was a little problem up in Dish because of fracking. Were you familiar with that story?
I am familiar with that one, Matt. That's where the mayor in particular and a citizen in Dish alleged that fracking had contaminated their fresh water. Mm-hmm. And this actually became a little story in one of the movies called Gasland. Mm-hmm. But upon further examination by both the Railroad Commission and a district judge there in North Texas, it was concluded that, A, there was no contamination of fresh water from fracking, and B, the individual alleging that had actually fraudulently connected a water hose to a gas vent, lit it on fire, videotaped it, and then put that forward as evidence that fracking had contaminated his fresh water. and the judge ruled that that had been a bogus claim.
Isn't it amazing how Hollywood can take a premise and turn it into a major motion picture and convince a lot of people of something that happened that actually didn't happen? Not the first time, and certainly won't be the last time. As Attorney General, you would be the state's chief law enforcement officer. Let me just throw a couple of different issues at you and get a response to the death penalty. Are you for it or are you against it?
I'm for the death penalty. There are heinous crimes that need to be prosecuted, and you need to receive the ultimate penalty for that. These are normally capital crimes involving the killing of a policeman or some other just heinous event in the commission of a crime. And those people do not deserve to live on planet Earth with those of us that are law-abiding citizens.
Illegal immigration, huge issue down here in Texas. I mean, we've got one of the longest borders in the United States with Mexico. Of course, we share it with New Mexico and with Arizona and California. But how do you see the state of Texas in the next 5 years contending with illegal immigration? I mean, what is going to be the scenario, how we work with the federal government?
Matt, this is going to be a particular focus of mine. I'm formerly a prosecutor in the Harris County District Attorney's Office, and the AG's office does not have primary responsibility for prosecuting crime, but we can work with local DAs and local law enforcement to help them prosecute crime, or if they ask us to, we can actually take over a case. So what I want to do is take our resources and make them available to border DAs, to border sheriffs, border law enforcement. And if we're not doing this as a result of a lack of resources, we need to be prosecuting trespass, theft, DWI, assault, littering, vagrancy. Any crime that's on the book needs to be prosecuted. And if we can't get illegal immigrants deported back, we can at least put them in jail.
What's as you look at the current situation with small businesses here in Texas, consumer rights, the business climate, the economic environment here in Texas, one of the reasons people move to Texas is because it does have an entrepreneurial spirit down here. It's not difficult to get a business started versus California, which takes, I don't know, anywhere from 200 days to get a business license. Along those lines, though, what is the AG's role in protecting the rights of consumers? What may be the AG's role in trying to avoid, say, for instance, what happened a few years ago with, I'm sorry to say, back in Houston with Enron? Tell me a little bit about what the Attorney General's office can do as far from a business perspective, keeping things clean and upright.
Right. Consumer protection is one of the core functions of the AG's office, and we need to continue to focus in on that, whether it's mortgage fraud or any other fraud. A business should not be allowed to take money away from a customer and not provide them with the service or the product that they bargained for. And so in the Enron case, which you mentioned, of course, there was fraud involved there. Skilling went to jail. Ken Lay would have gone to jail but passed away before he could be finally sentenced and then sent to prison. Yeah. We can't allow businesses to represent that they're going to do one thing for a customer and turn around and do another. On the other hand, this needs to be a balanced approach. Mm-hmm. Regulation and law enforcement needs to be predictable and transparent. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why our economy has been so good is we don't overregulate, and we don't oversue, and we don't overtax. So when I'm the Attorney General, I want to make sure that the rules are very transparent, that businesses know what to expect. As long as they're staying within the sidelines, playing on the field that we allow them to play on, they won't get any problems from me. But if you break the law, you should expect that we'll come down on you with a ton of bricks.
We're talking to Barry Smitherman, who is the chairman of the Texas Railroad Commission, also thrown his hat in the ring for AG. We'll take your call, 770-5790. Also, you can call in at 800-687-0790. You're listening to the Chad Hastie Show here on News Talk 790 KFYO. 10:36 here at KFYO. I'm Matt Crow filling in for Chad Hasty. We've got a temperature of 76 degrees right now here in Lubbock. I've got on the phone Barry Smitherman, who is the chairman of the Texas Railroad Commission, arguably one of the most important commissions in the state of Texas. And Barry has announced that he's running for Attorney General, the seat currently held by Greg Abbott. And Barry, you know, just a news story out of Houston this morning, there was a group of elderly people that were found in a home that had been, I guess, advertised or used as a group home for elderly people, but these people had been actually taken prisoner inside the home, and it's the old story of someone cashing their Social Security checks, I guess, or their pension checks. You know, the vulnerable population in this country and in the state of Texas, the elderly, the disabled, the challenged, the special needs children and so forth. As AG, what are your thoughts on protecting those people? I mean, you know, we just don't think about that hour to hour, day to day, when you've got everything going for us. And I think people do expect the Attorney General and law enforcement to be on the lookout for these types of situations. What are your views on that?
Well, Matt, thank you for bringing that up. You know, as a person who tries to be a Christian, and we all fall short, what you do unto the least of these, you do also unto me. Mm-hmm. When I heard that story, it really outraged me, because there are several parts of it that are disturbing. One is these people apparently were held prisoner, which, of course, is illegal. Their money was stolen from them. The checks were cashed and the money used by someone else. So there's fraud and theft involved. It sounds like that this place may have been registered as a not-for-profit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Attorney General's office does have jurisdiction over all not-for-profits.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an avenue as well that the AG can get involved. But we absolutely have to protect the vulnerable when they are taken advantage of. That is fraud, that is theft, and in this instance, it sounds like kidnapping and imprisonment. And if what I've heard is true, these people need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Well, I tell you, you know, and it just, you run across stories like that, and as a prosecutor, I don't frankly know how you come in contact with some of these situations and instances and criminal conduct and in some cases, I mean, really sinister people. And you want to be the chief law enforcement officer for the state of Texas. You must have a pretty darn thick skin to want to do that job.
It's an important job, and it takes someone who's tough, someone who's a fighter, and who's willing to work very hard to make sure that the laws and the Constitution of the state of Texas are enforced. When I was a prosecutor in the Harris County DA's office, most of the cases I handled were family assaults. And I'll tell you, Matt, it's really rewarding when you take someone who's been beating up a family member and you put them in jail, finally.
Yeah, I would positively be gleeful if I was you doing that. I think that would make my career if I was able to do that as a prosecutor. Barry, where do people go to learn more about your candidacy for AG and learn a little bit more about you?
Matt, you can go to barryfortexas.com, barryfortexas.com. That's my website. You can see my family there, my wife and four children. We've got a video which talks about me and my upbringing. And then there's an issues page. You can see the issues that I'm passionate about. And you can also follow me on Facebook or Twitter. One of the things we're talking about right now is border security, which you brought mm-hmm. up in a previous segment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Texans are lucky to have you on the Railroad Commission. I look forward to having you here in Lubbock and visiting with you personally, and I hope your campaign brings you out to West Texas. I'm sure it will.
Matt, I will absolutely be there. Lubbock is one of my favorite places. We used to do some quail hunting east of where you are right now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I will be there.
We'll be waiting for you. Thank you very much, Barry. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
Barry Smitherman, he's the chairman of the Texas Railroad Commission, running for Attorney General.